Hello and welcome back, bitches, to The Real Bitch of Bravo with your truly GK Wiley. I know it's been a couple weeks, so I greatly apologize as I haven't been feeling under the weather a little bit. So it's been a, my look is a reflection of how I feel right now, to be honest with you. But I am wearing our sponsor, Sandbar 66. For those that can't see it right here, Sandbar 66 is an awesome place to go watch some live music, super chill, little bar in a little center or slice of paradise in Manhattan Beach, California. If you're ever down here, up here, wherever you are around the world and you come to visit California, please come and visit Sandbar 66. You might be able to see your real bitch of Bravo. Not this weekend though, you guys. BravoCon is here. It's BravoCon week. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I'm going to hopefully see and actually in real life meet the real Bravo babe. I'm going to meet some other people as well. Your moms are watching, Thea D'Souza. Cannot wait to meet all these people that I've met because of the podcasting world and because of Bravo. I mean, Bravo just brings everybody together, even though you really think that it would bring more people apart than together, but it's bringing a lot of people together. So super excited for this weekend in Vegas. Vegas is like a second home to me anyway. So Bravo, you couldn't depict a better place to have a convention, specifically this convention, BravoCon. So excited. Can't wait. I'm driving in. I'm not going to be like Eddie Judge. I'm going to be like, actually, I'm not going to be like either of them because Eddie is driving in on his bike, on his Harley, and I will be driving in my Jetta. So not as glamorous as the backdrop that will be what Eddie Judge, is riding in on. But I will be in Vegas, guys, Friday through Monday, actually. There for a little bit of pleasure, work, etc., all that good stuff. Cannot wait for BravoCon. Super excited about that. I'm also there for work slash play, going to Allegiant as well. So I will not be there Sunday for BravoCon, but I will be, I'm going to try and be there for the late night on Friday and definitely going to be there all day Saturday for BravoCon. So super excited about this, guys, but super excited. Fucking shit, man. Bravo does not disappoint. Winter House is still going to be epic, and it still is epic. Salt Lake City, oh my God. I can't with this. Like, it's tugging at my heartstrings. It's pulling every single direction. So let's just get into it. Let's just start right now with Winter House. I know I'm kind of flipping the script because Salt Lake City was before Winter House, but I'm going to start with Winter House first, and then we'll go on to Salt Lake City, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. By the way, before I start this recap about Winter House, the drink word of the day for Winter House should be vibe. I mean, I'm all for the new words, and maybe I'm aging myself and just making myself feel like or seem extremely ancient. But dude, Winter House is not a vibe. Stop saying vibe, guys. It's very played out. I know you want to be hip and whatever, but time to move on from that. Anyways, if I keep going in and out on the, I might have to give you guys some better lighting. So I apologize about the shitty lighting. Okay, maybe that's a little bit better. Okay, well, that being said, let's go to Winter House. We end the episode, last week's episode, with Schwartzy entering the chat and walking in awkwardly as he normally does. Schwartzy enters the chat. The crew goes out for dinner and drinks. Corey, Schwartz, and Kyle. Before that, they go and talk on the hill about Schwartz and what's going down with Scandoval, because everybody keep in mind the timeline for this is the week, like a week before Scandoval, a week after, sorry, Scandoval started. So they're talking about that, talking about basically Schwartz's involvement in it. They don't really get into it too much, but they do talk about the fact that Schwartz was involved and that he knew and, you know, that basically all of his friendships are gone on that cast of Vanderpump Rules, and that he's on the outs. And then they snowboard down, or try to snowboard down the hill. All of them end up falling, I think, except for Corey. I think Corey's the only one that doesn't fall, but don't quote me on that one. I don't remember. Danielle and Casey, while after dinner and drinks and stuff like that, while they're still at the local bar slash restaurant, They tried their hand at flirting with some of the local guys. Casey basically says that she has no game. I think, like, my boyfriend has this theory, I'm not going to divulge too much into it, but that what all the women are going after one dude because they think that they are all tens and they can go after one dude. So that's the theory there. It's not my theory, guys. It's my man's theory. That being said, they pretty much crash and burn because majority of those guys have significant others. They all claim, like, we have girlfriends, leave us alone, kind of thing. Also, when you're in Colorado, which I'm assuming that's where they are, they don't give a fuck about reality stars. This isn't Hollywood. This isn't even New York. These guys are kind of, and they're dudes. So it's like they're probably very over it and just don't want to be bothered that they're with their boys, wanting to maybe watch a game or what have you. So they were definitely did not seem interested. And maybe, Casey, you need to work on your game. She then says, Casey, that is, then says that she will never hook up with anyone in the house. While Danielle is actually willing to get down and dirty, specifically with Alex. And we later find out a little bit about that as well later on in the episode. Jordan, however, has already turned down Brian and Alex, who have tried to kiss her in the house on the first day, and says in her confessional that she was down to try and find herself in Winter Bay, but not on the first day. This is hilarious to me because it's like the first day, it's like House of Villains, right? Like you find your alliances, you find your this, da, da, da. You like the first day, I would assume you would find who you're attracted to, who you want to be with, who you want to like hook up with on this trip. That's just me. But obviously that's just not how, that's not how Jordan operates. Sorry, there's something in the back of my shirt. Anyways, that's not how Alex, or not Alex, sorry, that's not how Jordan operates. So she just moves on from that and just basically rejects the two guys, which is kind of awkward and funny all at the same time. Corey is then getting drilled by Katie, and I always forget her name, but she definitely has the hots for Corey. Malia, they drill at dinner. They basically drill Corey about how single he is, or if he's single at all. Corey says that he's not defining his relationship, and I think this is going to dig him his grave. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to be in trouble with Sam whatsoever when she finally does appear on the show. But it ain't looking good, Corey. And also, like, as a viewer, it just makes you kind of seem scummy if you follow Summer House. Now, if you don't follow Summer House, totally different, right? If you follow every show except for Summer House, I get that. Then you're probably thinking, like, oh, well, this guy is just, like, waiting out his options. He's just figuring out his shit, whatever. But if you watch, if you actually watch Summer House and Winter House, basically, yes, they said that they, like, they cut to, the editors cut to, and they go to a scene where they talk about their where they're headed in the relationship and the timeline and all that stuff. But he said specifically on Watch What Happens Live that they're together. They are boyfriend and girlfriend. They are together. And I get that Katie and Malia live under a rock because they work for, like, they actually work for a living on yachts and they're always out of the country, et cetera, whatever. But dude, like, do some of your homework when you go into this. Same thing that Jack probably should have done before he went on House of Villains. Go and do your homework on these people and see what you can just. This is the other thing I don't understand about this generation. And maybe, again, I'm aging myself and I'm sorry for those that I offend right now, but not really. This is the real bitch of problem. I'm going to bitch about it. I don't understand. You have Google at your fingertips with your phone. I never had that when I was growing up. So you can look up these people if you're crazy like that. You can look up these people and be like, wait, he has a girlfriend. I'm going to push off and pull off the brakes for a little bit and like have a little intrepidation, maybe get to know this guy and maybe get to see like where he's at in life and whatever before I attempt to pounce, so to speak, or before I attempt to try and hook up with this guy. Taking him at face value now, you can easily research people. They easily research people. You can go on their Facebook. I'm not telling you to be psycho and crazy and do all this stuff. I'm just saying that you have the ability to do it. Just like when people tell you that they don't know who the fuck Prince is. I'm like, you have Google. You can Google Prince. He was that famous. And he still, to me, is that famous. Yes, there are people, actually, guys, that don't know who Prince is. I know. You can drop your jaws right now. Anyways, The crew gets back from dinner and drinks and decides to get comfy along with slide down the hill in the dark with a floaty. Not the smartest thing. This is reality TV. Thank you for keeping us entertained, guys. Kyle specifically. Kyle then breaks the pickle jar. Corey gets flirty and everyone else tries to pass out. Amanda texts Kyle and it's so sweet. Like, that couple has come such a long, long way. There's a sock on the door conversation between Schwartz and Katie. It's weird. But it happens. Schwartz, you never seem to amaze me how awkward you can possibly get, but I kind of am here for it. Schwartz then talks to everybody and says, like, I wake up really, really early, and he was not joking. He wakes up before everybody else the next day and basically cleans the kitchen, which, good for him, says that this is a method he can control outside of all the other methods that he couldn't control. So this is the one he's going to try to control. So good for him for cleaning the kitchen and being a responsible adult. Man, times have changed. Tom and Casey talk about taxidermy after Casey comes in and says, like, oh my gosh, you woke up early and cleaned. That was an awkward conversation. Not even going to get into that. For those that don't know what taxidermy is, A, again, you have Google, but B, it's basically when you stuff dead animals and, like, preserve them. And that's why there's, like, some people that have, like, dead animals all over their place if they're, like, hunters and stuff like that, if you don't know what taxidermy is. Next, then we get to Alex saying in his confessional that he is a flirty person, according to him, and that he's always going to flirt. And this totally makes sense because he is socially awkward AF, man. Like, Alex basically says and reiterates the fact that he's homeschooled, which I would like to point out. I grew up with a lot of homeschoolers. And just because you're homeschooled, there's homeschooled and homeschooler. And he is definitely a homeschooler versus a homeschooled. Because homeschooled is like the people that, like, they get homeschooled by their family, friend, whatever, whether it's through the church, whatever, however you got homeschooled, there's definitely different avenues, but they are awkward as fuck. That's Alex. Now, if you're a homeschooler, it's like, okay, like, I'm getting homeschooled, but I have social skills. And so don't blame the shit on homeschooling, man. I don't want to say I want to blame it on your parents, but I kind of want to blame it on your parents just because they should have taken you into social scenes from the get-go. I get protecting kids, but you have to eventually let them fly. I know you're probably saying, like, gee, hey, what the fuck do you know? You don't have children. Just speaking from personal experience and personally, my friends that have been homeschooled or my family that actually has been homeschooled, my cousins all have been homeschooled. So and they're social as hell, man. Like, they are really, really social as hell. So they played sports. I think that's a great avenue too for those that want to homeschool their children. Please involve them in sports. I think that's the best possible idea. That being said, it shows, honey, that you're awkward as shit in there. Everybody goes skiing or boarding except for Schwartz and Katie, and this gives them the time to actually bond and talk and maybe get to know each other a little bit. I would love for Schwartzy to hook up with somebody other than Raquel, so I hope this happens. I hope we're seeing things to come because later on, Katie does talk to Malia as they go back to their room and to talk about the party and, like, organizing shit or whatever, because that's what they do for a living. And Malia brings up the question, if you could kiss anyone, who would it be? And Katie says Schwartz due to his personality, which I totally get. He seems like a very sweet, sweet, endearing person. So I'm really, really hoping that they do make out and do more than make out, because I think that, like, even though I know a lot of people are not on the Schwartzy train, and they probably still aren't on the Schwartzy train, sorry for the burp, I still think that he deserves happiness and love, and he deserves to get fucked. Literally, he needs to have sex. So, and I'm sure that he's getting some now. Schwartzy, I can't wait to actually ask you that. Like, when was the last time you got laid? I think that will be a great question. Also, guys, for BravoCon, if you have any questions for me to ask as I go to BravoCon, I'm going to try and do some man on the street stuff, some interviews. If you want to ask me to ask fans, if you want me, when I see a Bravo celebrity, what questions I should ask for that, please DM me at the_real_bitch_of_bravo. I will ask all of your questions. I'm so down for that. So please, please, please hit me up via DM. Anyways, we go back to Schwartz and Katie kind of getting not intimate, but relatively like close, right? So Danielle lets out during this time when they're all going skiing, Danielle's with all the boys, well, not all the boys, but most of the boys, and lets Alex know that maybe he needs to chill on the flirting. Then we go back to Schwartz and Katie, and they go shopping for, as they say, in the yachting world, provisions. And once they're done, they get into the car and get to know each other a little bit more. Schwartz lets Katie know about him and his ex and the divorce and he's going through and what he's going through. And he pretty much, to me, he sugarcoats a lot. Like, he really, really sugarcoats this shit. Like, he talks about his divorce. And he says that his friendships, their friendship, him and Katie, his ex wife, Maloney, we're just going to call her Maloney from this point. He says that their friendship is on hiatus. I really don't like, okay, sorry guys. Their friendship is on hiatus. So what he really should have said, Schwartzy, God bless you. What he really should have said is that the last time that they talked to one another, she pretty much wants nothing to do with him because they cut the editors, man, I love Bravo editors. They cut back to the scene where they're in Mexico talking and she basically says, I want nothing to do with you. So like, I didn't think that I could hate any, I could hate you, but I officially hate you. I don't want you in my life and I don't want to talk to you. I don't want anything to do with you. So that's a huge gap from your friendships on hiatus. Like, I don't know what world you're living in, Tom. And like, I really want to live in your world because it's not realistic. It's very delusional and it sounds amazing. Then Katie, not Maloney, tells Schwartz that she is very single. And I think she emphasizes that. And obviously she is obviously there. And I think she says this earlier on too. She's obviously there to hook up with somebody or like, you know, have a good time, enjoy her vacation, et cetera. And pretty much be single. Then everybody gets back to the house. Brian, goes back to the room, I think with Malia. I'm not going to lie to you. And no. With Casey, Brian goes back to, Casey's room and they talk in their confessional and in their confessional, they basically say that they are complete opposites. Basically, Casey says that she is a anti-romantic, like she doesn't watch rom-com, she's like not really into that shit, and she like doesn't really want to settle down right now. She's like, I'm good, I don't need all that. Brian is the polar opposite, basically huge romantic, like loves all that mushy crappy Hallmark shit, and then but does want to settle down, have kids, blah blah blah, all that stuff right now. So I find it hilarious that he's not seeing this and he's still pursuing her, and she also doesn't want to hook up with you. So we'll see where that goes. He gets into the one thing they do have in common, though. He gets into that. They both get into that about how they are both family first and they love their families. He brings up his mother and her bubbly, girly personality, and also brings up having a family one day and wanting all boys. So there is that they have in common. They obviously both want to have a family, but I think their timelines are very skewed when it comes to this shit. Next, everyone dresses up for the party, and it is pirate themed. Danielle and Jordan talk about Danielle and Alex getting together. And by the way, I would like to say this from the get-go. Jordan is a bomb wing woman. And we'll see that in a second once this party gets underway. They all end up playing get-to-know-you games and eating their dinner that Schwartz provided, which... and then first up, obviously, for the questions is Schwartz, and it's fuck, marry, kill, which he's awkward to seeing. And I actually would be awkward too, if like, or awkward to say. And I would be awkward too, because I just met most of you people. I think he only knows like three people in the whole entire crew. So he's getting to know all these people for the first time. The next question of significance, at least to me, is who in the house pulls, and it's a question for Jordan. And she says that Corey, which totally makes sense, but this is so shady, right? Because because of the situation we have with Sam and him being like on the fence and saying like, oh, well, Jordan, like, well, I'm not really with her. Like, she's kind of sort of my girlfriend. And I love how like shady the editors are. And they put kind of sort of on the bottom. It's like, Corey, man, you gotta figure your shit out, dude. Just figure it out. And be honest with these girls. Like, you don't have to hook up with them. Sam's coming over eventually to talk and like, or not to talk, to hang out and like be a part of the house. So that drama is coming soon. I can't wait for that drama, by the way. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how her and Malia interact. And then obviously the very, very end, Malia answers the universal question that everyone had to answer. Who would you kiss in the house? And she says, Corey. And again, we get back to this question. And Jordan was the best wing woman. And when she answers the question of who would you want to kiss, she says that she would want to do a three-way kiss with Danielle and Alex, and then they actually do it, thus kind of sparking some kind of conversation between her, between Danielle and Alex, and then eventually getting them to make out for real in the hot tub, which we're getting to. Which is awesome, which they end up doing. Sorry. So they end up making out in the hot tub, seeing cuts to black, and then we all go on for the next for next week's episode, which looks kind of interesting, but I'm definitely more interested in the drama between Malia and Sam versus the drama between Malia and Jordan, because Malia told her, or Jordan told her, which dumb as shit. It's like being in a competition show and telling your competition, like, I'm going to go and fuck everybody else over. And then that person does the exact same thing. So it's just so stupid. But Malia does end up going for it and trying to kiss Corey and make out with him, whatever. And then Jordan gets all butthurt about it, I guess, and, you know, gets comforted by one of the guys. I think it looks like it's Brian. That being said, stupid. So can't wait. Cannot wait for Malia and Sam and the showdown for that, which I think we're going to have to wait a couple weeks for it. But overall, decent episode. Not crazy, not great, nothing nutty happened except for the making out in the hot tub. I'm kind of over this making out in the hot tub, but I get that that's where you guys have to kind of like, it's very sexy-ish. I think anything with water is gross. Like, if you've ever done it in the water, ugh, I don't suggest it. Bad idea. Speaking of bad ideas, let's move on, guys, to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Not a bad idea. So good, because we divulge more into why Monica is my girl. We're going to get to that in a second, but we're going to divulge into so much more with Jack and his decision to go on a mission. They do all of the things. So we had to wait two weeks for this episode, but in my opinion, it was kind of worth it. I wish that they wouldn't have done that to us, but I get it. I'm sure that their numbers were probably really, really high too. I'd actually like to see that. I don't know if they were, but last week on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, we see Monica and her mother get into it at Angie's, along with rumors that were circulating about Sean and Angie's marriage being fake / arranged. As in, like, they have an arrangement where Sean was being unfaithful by sleeping with other men, and he was allowed to do that as long as, like, Angie gets hers. We also get into Whitney and Justin getting into it about their marriage and the troubles that they're having now that he's gone back to work. Lastly, Heather and Lisa talk about why Heather was the last person to know about Jack's mission. Heather gives her unsolicited advice to Lisa in that moment. This week on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, we open with Whitney organizing a dinner meetup with Mary Cosby. Fucking getting into it. I'm so over this. I'm over the Mary Cosby thing. Like, I'm just done. I think that Justin was right. It's like, why are you doing this to yourself? You know, there's so much other content that you could be creating or, you know, producing for yourself for this show. I'm done with Mary Cosby, guys. No more. Can we please stop with Mary Cosby? She's probably not even going to go to BravoCon because that's how self-involved she is with her life. So I'm so over it. I'm so ready to move on from Mary Cosby. No more scenes. Editors, if you're hearing me, recut. If you could recut some of the end of this shit and like take Mary Cosby out, I would be so insanely grateful. Like, I can't with Mary Cosby. We have enough drama between Meredith and Angie and Monica and her, and even though Lisa's trying to insert herself into Monica, get over it, Lisa. Like, you are so in the wrong after this episode. And I'll get into that in a second. But Monica and her mother, Lydia, like, we have enough. We have enough content and with enough drama. We don't need Mary Cosby in there. She's just a mean, evil person. I'm actually even going to skip the dinner that they had because it was that mean and that cruel. And I don't even want to pay attention to somebody that's that mean. They don't deserve my attention. And I actually wanted to skip through that whole entire scene. It was that cringy and that horrible and that bitchy. And for somebody that's supposed to be a woman of God, you're a fucking bitch. I'm not going to say the other word, but I really want to call you that. But you're a bitch. And I like to bitch, but I'm not a bitch. I think that this is ridiculous. Like, no more Mary Cosby, guys. Bravo, cut her loose. Just like you cut Ramona Singer, cut her loose. I'm good with it. Let her go. We then get into Heather and Monica going snowmobiling. We're going to skip over. And Monica and Heather go back down the hill after they go boarding or snowmobiling. And they talk by the fire. They get to know each other a little bit more and find out that they have more in common than they thought. Heather opens up about her relationship with her mother and that Monica's relationship with her mother reminded her of her relationship, Heather's relationship with her mother once Heather got a divorce. Monica then also opens up and tries to explain her ongoing volatile relationship with her mother and lets the entire world know, including Heather, that her father left them at age 4 and her mother left her to pursue her dreams of whatever she was trying to do in New York and left her with a friend's family at the age of 12 in Pennsylvania. I don't blame this bitch for having freaking issues with her mother. If my mom did that, I would probably have the exact same reaction. And she's Hispanic too. Like, there's going to be more fire if you add fuel to it. It's just, you cannot blame this girl in its entirety. And at least she's trying to break the cycle with her kids. She's still there for them. She's making sure that she is constantly trying to be there for her children. And the reason why, she's trying to break the cycle. And we find that out later on in the episode once her and her mother get together for dinner as well. And they talk it out. Well, kind of. Anyways, now for all the people that were throwing shade at Monica and being like, don't talk to your mom like that. Fuck off. That girl has been through so much. I could not even imagine. Like, I'm so grateful for my family and what, like, they've, you know, done for me and that they've actually been there. I can't even imagine being dropped off at some stranger's house for however long so you can go to school and your mom can go pursue her dreams in New York. And you didn't think that New York was expensive? Are you fucking kidding me? That's like the first thing that you know about New York is that it ain't cheap. That's why if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. It's just too expensive. Like, how do you not know this? Insane to me. Insane. Lay the fuck off. Stop throwing shade at Monica. I hope that social media has like laid off on her because she has done, in my opinion, she's done no wrong. She is a product of her environment and her environment was really shitty. So lay off of her. Then we go to Lisa and her husband and Jack talking to Jack about him going on his mission. We come to find out that the father found out 2 weeks before Lisa did, and Jack said that he thinks that Lisa would, or sorry, Jack didn't say this, but the Lisa's husband said that if Lisa found out that he knew prior, she would kick his ass. And basically, she didn't say that she would kick his ass, but she definitely, during her Watch What Happens Live interview, she definitely says, I wasn't happy. I'm pretty sure he got a tongue lashing. I don't think he got his ass kicked, but he may have gotten his ass chewed out for that. That being said, they are a very supportive family. I think that she's kind of coddling him. And I think that like, it's a good thing that Jack is leaving because I think he's just trying to insert his independence and be like, dude, I'm going to do stuff for my own. Especially men need to be like, let me be a man kind of thing. So it's kind of nice that Jack is doing this for himself. So I applaud you, Jack. Keep it going. Can't wait. I mean, I know where you end up going. Some of these people don't. They haven't watched the episode and I'm recapping it, but I can't wait for your journey, good or bad. You know, everybody has a different experience. And I think that it's noble of Heather to want to try to warn her. But at the same time, it's like everybody's experience is different. So let him have his experience and kind of move on from this. I think it would be better coming from like maybe her daughters as opposed to, or like a young person that like has gone through this already. Cause Lisa said that it's a different system now. It's a different, they're not knocking on doors and doing the boots on the ground kind of stuff anymore. It's more of a service to the church. So I think maybe like, I get where her heart is, but at the same time, like this ain't your child, lay off. Then we skip over to Meredith, Heather, and Monica and Whitney all going cross country skiing together, which I guess cross country skiing is the equivalent of water aerobics. But it kind of seems way more active to me. And by the way, water aerobics is not a Olympic sport, but cross country skiing is. So there's obviously something to it. It's a little bit more intense, I guess. Then the ladies finally sit down after they cross country ski and they eat and they talk. Or as Heather calls it, her tailgate, because she does it. But by the way, does everybody know why it's called tailgating? Because I do. It is called tailgating because it's the tailgate that you end up like doing it on the tailgate of your car. And that's what that end, that bumper is called. Anyways, that tailgate right there, like they ended up like using that as, you know, a place for people to commune and get together and whatever. And so they use that tailgate. So that's why it's called tailgating. Because you're doing it at the end of your car or your tailgate. Interesting fact. Don't say you didn't learn anything on The Real Bitch of Bravo. So then the ladies sit down and they Monica gets asked by Whitney about her new car. Angie explains that it's a rental and that her current car is in her mother's name and that every time her mom gets mad at her or like something happens, some drama happens between them, she takes away the car. And so she had to go and grab a rental, even though she pays for the car that is in her mother's name. Monica then goes on to explain that her mother told her that she wanted the car in by 4 p.m. that day, or she was going to call the cops and declare that the car was stolen. If this doesn't show you how, like, I mean, granted, we're going to finally see the behavior of Lydia, AKA Monica's mom, later on in the show. But if this doesn't show you how petty this bitch is, I don't know what will. Like, this is a car that she takes her kids to school in. She needs the damn car. Like, I get being mad, but to do that, like, there's a screw loose. Like, those are your grandchildren. Like, what's wrong with you? Ugh. We then get to, and I hope everybody else is, like, understanding a little bit more of Monica and what she's going through. Like, Lisa, you're kind of on an island alone on this one. It's just, lean into the skin and just be like, Monica, I get it. I'm sorry. Move on. Anyways, then Whitney brings up that she's having her daughter Bobby's 13th birthday and would like all the ladies, including ladies to come, including their families and have their families present, and warns Meredith that Angie is going to be there and would like it to be a safe space for both of them because this is her daughter's birthday. I think it was Tamara who said it best. If you have an event, like an important event, don't make it a housewives event. I'm really hoping that these ladies just come together. It's a 13-year-old child's birthday. Pull the drama off to the side. Go downstairs to the bar or something like that, the speakeasy bar that Whitney has. Don't ruin this poor child's birthday. Then again, I guess she'll have a memory for life. I don't know. Whitney then says that she's concerned because Meredith said that she wanted Angie's life to end or something to that effect. Meredith then says that she doesn't nor has ever wished anyone ill will, and that includes Angie. I think this makes Whitney believe, okay, fine. I guess we're going to go and do this and we'll, you know, figure out a time and whatever to be able to, or not a time, sorry, I kind of went off track there. But she's like, okay, well, maybe she'll keep the peace and actually be peaceful during this birthday party that she's going to have for her child. We then get to Angie and her dad, Louie, meeting up to cook his lemon chicken rice with one another. They talk about going on dates and stuff like that. This is kind of a nothing burger. I'm glad that we're getting to know Angie a little bit more, but to be honest with you, I was kind of bored. So I'm going to move on from this. I said I wasn't going to cover the Whitney and Mary Cosby dinner, and I'm not. So we move on. Then we get to Jack's mission reveal party, and I'm only going to touch on this for like 2 seconds. I figured this was the thing in the Mormon community to have reveal parties. I don't know why everybody else wouldn't. It's a big deal. It's 2 years of your life that you're leaving. And when you're 19 or 17 or whatever, and you're leaving for this, because I think 19 is the cutoff year. Like, you have to go when you're 19, I think. That's a long time to be away from friends, family, people that are, like, close to you, especially if you're going to Columbia, because that's where Jack ends up having to go. Do I think, I will say this, they're trying to make it more, I'm not saying that it's not dangerous, but they are, Lisa, just to let you know, they are trying to make it more tourist friendly. I have a plethora of friends that have gone to Columbia when it wasn't tourist friendly, and now that it is tourist friendly. I will, however, say this, if you want your child to be safe, get them a fucking guide for the rest of, for the 2 years that they're on that mission, so they won't get fucked with. And then you'll be fine and you won't have to worry about it, because that's what my buddies did. Granted, they only did that for like 10 days while they were out there, but it's still better than you. Like, I would just hire some dude, and I bet you it isn't going to cost you a lot, but I would just hire some guy and just have him be Jack's protection or whoever they're around's protection. Like, that's what I would personally do if I had the money. And it's not like they're asking for an astronomical amount. I bet you if you gave them like $5,000 for the 2 years, they could live off of that for like ever. So that's my suggestion, though. I'm not saying to do it, but that is my suggestion if you did want them to be safe. Last but not least, you guys, Monica goes out to meet her mother for dinner. Oh, I got to stretch for this one because it just shows you why I still ride for Monica. Monica, I'll still ride for you because mother-daughter relationships are complicated and yours definitely takes the cake for me. I've never seen anything like this on Real Housewives where the mom and the daughter don't get along this poorly, if that makes any sense. Parents are always going to, you know, parents and their kids are always not going to get along. Like, you're going to disagree on one thing or another, but at the end of the day, you're still family and you still should be able to get together and have some kind of commonality, especially if that grandparent has grandchildren or if that parent has grandkids, right? So you would think that they would try to come together. Lydia, who says she doesn't want to be on television, her words on Twitter, guys, her words on Twitter, and that Monica forced her to be on the show. The second Monica sits down, she automatically starts crying. I thought this was fake. I'm assuming a lot of y'all thought it was fake as well. You automatically start crying when she gets to the table and you don't want to be on TV. Oh, sweetie, it ain't looking good for you. Monica then sits down at the table and we finally see the Lydia that Monica normally sees on a daily basis. She cries, she screams, she yells, she calls her a motherfucker. She does like all of these things. And then, like, she tells her that they need to go into therapy. I'm not saying that they don't need to go into therapy, but I think it might be a little past this because you can't even see what you did wrong, Lydia. Like, Monica's actually trying to tell you, these are the things that you did in my life when I was a kid. This is the stuff that fucked me up. And you are just repeating the cycle because I see it happening with your mother. Don't repeat, like, they're kind of past all this, I would think, right? Like, they're kind of, maybe it's irreconceivable or irreconcilable. Like they just can't, I don't think they can get together on a consensus on this one. So God bless them if they do, if they go to therapy, I think that would be great. Hopefully Lydia can actually see what the fuck she did wrong in order to fuck up her kid. Cause that's really, man, what she did was messed up. And also what's with the aspirin? Like, I really want to, like, and I don't want to sound like insensitive or anything like that, but I think that Lydia might have like a screw loose somewhere or something wrong that maybe has nothing to do with Monica. Maybe it just has to do with her personal life and whatever she's going through or has gone through, right? And that's definitely, and Monica brings that up, but I think that maybe she needs to figure that out before she unleashes all kinds of hell on to Monica. That being said, this therapy session did not go well. I think on either side, Monica gets up and leaves and says she needs to go to her kids. And we kind of end the scene there. We kind of end the show there, not really resolved. But next week on Salt Lake City, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Heather finds out about Jack's fishing assignment through Angie. Bobby and Whitney get ready for Bobby's 13th birthday party. Bobby is hilarious, by the way. She's such a sweet kid. Fucking comedy. When she says she has eyebrows, it's hilarious. When she's in the glam chair. Whitney tries to explain to Lisa and Monica. Whitney tries to explain to Lisa about Monica's relationship with her mother and how toxic and abusive it is. Then, you lose me here, Lisa. Like, I actually am on your side up until you bash Monica for no fucking reason. Like, you just came in with, like, I'm just not going to like her. So then she basically tells Whitney, well, I still want to talk to my mother that way, even though we have issues. I'm like, you don't know the issues that they have. You cannot sit there and tell me, like, she's just so in her own world and in her $60,000 ring own world. And I can't get down with it. It's just sad, Lisa. It's just really sad that you can't be, and it's fake empathy that you give to other people. It's fake empathy. And it's sad. It's just so sad. And I'll stick by that. I will stick by that if I ever see you, I will 100% stick by that. Last but not least, we get to Monica and Lisa getting into it at Whitney's Sound Bowl event, which is directly after Bobby's birthday party. And we see them getting a little more vocal at something where you're supposed to be dead ass silent. So excited about that. Cannot wait for next week's episode. Salt Lake City keeps bringing it. We're going to keep bringing it. I'm not even going to get into the Watch What Happens Live episode with Lisa Barlow and Danny Pellegrino, even though Danny is hilarious and he's a cute little fanboy. But not even going to get into that because I pretty much already said all I need to say about Lisa and Monica and Lisa Barlow's hatred towards Monica. I think it's just going to keep continuing to go forward until maybe she gets some Twitter backlash or maybe she gets some social media backlash. That being said, you guys, thank you so much for listening, so much for watching, however you're listening to this podcast. Please continue to share, like, follow, all that freaking crap. I hate promoing, so... thank you so much, guys, anyway, for lasting this long. If you went all the way to the end, I appreciate you. Don't forget to check out Sanford 66, our sponsor. I will have a guest on, you guys. You're going to love her. She is amazing. She's wonderful. A mother of two, technically and a half. I'm not going to put her shit out there, but like, she is amazing, wonderful, smart as fuck, by the way, too. A lawyer married to a special someone that I will not mention until she gets on to the show next week. That being said, though, guys, I will be trying to recap again and giving you another episode right before BravoCon. So that being said, you guys, follow me on social media, on X, on Threads. Actually, I'm not on X. Follow me on Threads. It's the same handle, obviously. The_real_bitch_of_bravo. I hate all the fucking underscores. That should be a handle. I hate all the fucking underscores. Anyways, that being said, guys, follow me on social media. Follow Sandbar on social media. It's at sandbar66_, I believe. And then keep listening, watching all this good stuff. You guys, thank you so much for listening, watching, however you're getting your podcast. Keep following. And I love you. And I will see you ASAP. If not, everybody, follow me on Instagram and my stories for BravoCon. I can't wait. Bye.